I am the author of the web cartoon Tales from Redesign Land. If you read that, I am the guy. The title for my presentation today is Behind the Green Door, Life on the Other Side of a Homepage Redesign. And of course, the title of my presentation is a reference to the 1941 Penny Parker mystery story by Mildred A. Wirt. And when I showed this to my wife, she said, you know, most of the people are not going to get the reference that is here. Now, Jerry over here gets it. It was a 1978 porn movie with Marilyn Chambers in it called Behind the Green Door. Only old people get this reference. So this whole thing was supposed to be a great setup. But nobody gets this reference anymore. So the reason why I chose that title and the reason why the subtitle was Life After a Homepage Redesign was because at the time that I got the proposal request thing, you know, submit a proposal to High Ed Web, we had just launched our new homepage. And I was marveling at, wow, life is good. And when I looked back a couple years, I said, life had been miserable. We were dysfunctional. We couldn't make decisions. It was just horrible. And I thought, wow, you know, we launched this redesign. Everything's great. You know, A follows B, therefore A caused B. Well, it turns out when I started working on this presentation that the redesign was not really the reason life was good. And so the title then became a little bit of a misnomer. So if you all get up and walk out, we'll all kind of understand. What I realized when I started working on this presentation is that there were actually three things that we did that have transformed the way that we deal with our web presence at our university, that have transformed us from a highly dysfunctional environment to one where we can actually make decisions and do things with, as far as higher ed goes, relative efficiency. And yes, the redesign was part of that. And if you went to my presentation yesterday, I talked about that. I also talked about that last year. And we also implemented a web content management system, which I talked about 2 years ago here. But what really drove the change in the way that we do business and the way that our lives are on a daily basis, and this is where you should be perking up, oh, my life on a daily basis, okay, it affects this, is we implemented something we'd never had before, which was a web governance infrastructure. And ours is very simple. It is limited. We do not have godlike powers. But at the same time, we do have ways of making decisions now. So I'm going to talk about that in this presentation. Now, the first thing that I realize is that I've talked to a lot of people about web governance and decision making at this conference. And the first thing that I realize is every place is different. Some places have VPs of web communications, okay? We don't have that. We don't have a team of thousands. So what I'm going to say is going to be a personal story. Every place is different. There are small web teams that all have perfect teeth, okay? There are even smaller web teams that are all contemplating suicide because of how dysfunctional their art environment is. And then there are the web team of one. Who here is a web team of one? There you go. You get a t-shirt. I feel sorry for the web teams of one. So, the purpose of my presentation is not to tell you, you should do this, because your university is different than ours. And we are implementers, not managers, okay? What I hope to do is inspire you that it is possible to go from a highly dysfunctional environment to a functional environment, and to hopefully inspire you to find ways to work within your organization to begin that process. You cannot, there's no one in this room, I'm pretty sure, that can by fiat go, this is our web policy for our entire university. Okay, so just keep that in mind. I know that I can't give you that kind of power or the information to make that happen. I hope to get you thinking about how to get there at your campus. So this is our story of order from chaos and sanity from insanity. Your story will be different if you can have it. But the great thing about this story is that if we could do it at our university, you can do it at yours, maybe. So hopefully. So I'm going to briefly, and I'm going to blaze through this at lightning speed, I'm going to briefly go through the way we were, so you get an idea, and I'm sure you'll identify with this, of how we were, and hopefully it'll relate to how you are or how you were as well. It all started in 1995, when a small unit called Instructional Support, buried in the bowels of our IT unit, discovered this thing called the World Wide Web and said, hey, we should have a Chico State homepage right there. Which, by the way, this fits, has everything that's on the right side of that XKCD cartoon, so we should have just left this the way it was, because this was the perfect homepage. Unfortunately, what happened after they launched this homepage on their own was the administration got wind of it, and immediately wanted to shut it down as a rogue action. I was not there in the good old days. I missed out on all that fun. In response, the administration formed what was called the WWW Guidelines Committee, say that three times real fast. And the idea behind this committee was to make decisions about what went on this new homepage and what didn't. They didn't have campus-wide policy setting powers or anything like that. And oh, actually, there's somebody from my part of the state that's up here. He's actually spying, so I have to be careful about who I say bad things about here. Go for it, okay. This committee was 20 to 25 people from all over campus. When I joined this committee in 2004, and I am not making this up, there's no hyperbole at all here, half of the people on that committee did not know what breadcrumbs were, okay? And they were making decisions regarding our homepage and our top-level presence on the internet. So, and this was a committee that was driven more by personalities and power than it was by what was best for the university. We spent, well, as you'll see, we spent huge amounts of effort accomplishing absolutely nothing with this committee. And in their wisdom, in 1999, they decided to have a group of students in a graphic design class redesign our homepage, which these days would be an absolute horror to turn your homepage over to a group of students. But that's exactly what we did, and we got this design, which for 1999 could have been a lot worse, I suppose. And then in 2004, this is when I came into the process, one of the members of the committee hired his son to redesign our homepage, which was when things got really bad there. And so we had this whole history of this dysfunctional process with our homepage. As far as web governance, org chart on our campus, we had the WWW Guidelines Committee. They did their own thing with the homepage and the top-level page. No policy setting abilities. We had a group called Campus Web Services that charged people to develop custom websites for colleges and departments if they had the money for it. The colleges and departments that didn't have the money just did whatever they wanted. Okay, so there was no control, there was no branding. And then we had our public affairs or public relations unit that was concerned pretty much only with generating press releases. So they were not involved in this process at all either. And there was no communication between any of these bodies on campus at all. As far as who did web design on our campus, well, our campus web services people did web design, as did third-party designers, faculty, children of faculty, and even the friends of children of faculty did design for departmental and administrative unit websites. So it was anybody could do anything, basically. Our design standards were that. That was it. As long as you had the Chico seal, which looks like a gray blob, the word Chico in Bodoni bold, and today decides tomorrow, which is our motto, and please do not get me started on the grammatical and logical errors in that three-word phrase. Today decides tomorrow? What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. So that was our only standard, and we couldn't even enforce that on campus. People would stretch it out, and they changed the color, and nightmare. And as far as training and support for website maintenance, students could go to student computing and get training on HTML. Faculty could go to our technology and learning program and get support for Dreamweaver and get training and stuff. But staff, had no recourse, okay, to get any kind of support or training at all. And yet 70% of the website maintenance that's done on our campus is done by faculty. 28% is done by students who work, or done by staff, excuse me. 70% is done by staff, 28% is done by students who work for the staff, and 2% is done by faculty as far as maintaining departmental websites. But staff are the ones that weren't getting the support. As far as web content management systems, we were lucky. There were a few departments that were playing around with a few things, but nobody had implemented anything. There were some homegrown things like this Freedom, the GoToDNS. Oh, that's the most horrible, nightmarish thing on the planet. We kind of got ahead of that. But we saw that people were beginning to get content management systems. This department, this college, were starting to roll these things out, and we saw that where that was headed. So to give you an idea of how decision-making was done at our campus, in the places where decisions could be made, and about the only place a decision could actually be made was our homepage. So I'm going to give you a real-life example of how that decision process worked at our campus. It would start off with somebody having a bright idea. Oh, there should be a link to this on our homepage. Great. There was no central contact to send that request to them, so they'd email somebody that had something to do with the web that they thought. And that email might bounce around for a day or a week or a month before it finally reached the WWW Guidelines Committee. And of course, this is not a photo that relates to that committee at all in any way whatsoever. this picture's still unrelated. It says so. And then somebody would try to get this committee of 25 people together to meet to discuss this request, and you know how it is trying to schedule 25 people. And because of the size of the committee, it might take a month or so to actually get the committee scheduled to meet. We had people that were trying to schedule meetings in May, and then they said, oh, we can't do it, so we'll see you in September, right? And so that's the way it was. So in the meantime, the person who requested this has no idea what's happened. Did they do it? Are they going to do it? What's happened to this process? Eventually, the WWW Guidelines Committee would meet. But because of the way it worked, other pent-up issues, unresolved things that we hadn't finished, business that we hadn't finished last time, would always boil to the surface. And we would end up having the discussion veer in six different directions as unfinished business and personal issues came up. And we had this whole thing where ultimately it devolved into a bunch of recriminating arguments. And discussion finally came to an end whenever whoever screamed loudest, okay? At that point, the meeting was adjourned, and the person who had requested this change was still left hanging and with no idea what was going to happen. At some point, some brave soul would try to schedule a new meeting to beat on this issue a little bit more, at which point we would repeat steps 6 through 10. Okay? Finally, the committee would give up in exasperation and decide to punt on the request, and they would tell whoever it had originally received the email to respond to the requester that their request had been denied. We repeated this for every change that was requested for the homepage. Do you understand now why I started the cartoon? So let's review real quick. We had no clear policies, decision-making bodies, or central web authority. As a result of that, all decisions that were made or could be made were ad hoc and arbitrary. I made plenty of policy decisions when I worked in campus web services because there was no one else to do it. Did I have the authority to do that? Could anybody come along and override that? Sure. And that was one of the other results, is there was no responsibility for decisions that were made about the use of the logo or anything else, or branding or fonts or accessibility or anything. And there was no commitment to any decision that was made. I went to many meetings where the WW Guidelines Committee said, we're going to do it this way. And then 6 months later, they would meet, and the same kind of issue would come up. And then they would veer off in a whole different direction. We're going to go this way. And I'd be like, well, last time we were, no? OK, well, all right. We'll do it different this time. As a result, decision paralysis was the norm, okay? How many people have experienced this? Yes. Meanwhile, on the interwebs, the web had become not only an important, but the primary communication channel for the university's business, all kinds of business, from registration to enrollment to recruitment to course materials to everything. Okay, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. It was clear that we were losing what very little control that we had over the university's web presence. And because I live in the state of California, we had limited and shrinking resources to address these issues. And it was very clearly only going to get worse. So, everybody knew that something had to change. But what was lacking at our university, and what might be lacking at your university, is the will to make that change happen. Okay? We held a SIG, a special interest group, last night on web governance. And the one message that came out again and again and again is you have to have somebody at a sufficiently high level to take this on and make it happen. We at our level can't do it. And that's the big thing that I've been agonizing about this presentation is I can't send you off with something you can do. I can only hopefully inspire you to try to help make this happen. At our university, we had the WWW Guidelines Committee, but they couldn't even decide on whether to put a link on the homepage or not, much less govern our entire web presence. They were out. Public Affairs was a little too busy with today's press release to do much about web governance. They weren't really sure about the whole web thing. And our CIO was also very clear. It's like, hey, you know, I'm IT. You want us to run the web server? Great, we'll run the web server. The web is a communication medium. That's not our business. However, and this is where I have to give full credit. So Bill Post, if you are listening to this presentation, this is for you. He's our CIO. He decided that it was best for the university that even though he didn't feel it was his job, that he needed to champion it for the university. So he became our Chuck Norris. And he went out and decided the best thing for the university going forward, given the importance of the internet, is that we have some sort of central web governance. Somebody has to get that message sufficiently high up to make it happen. Maybe you can take that message back and educate somebody that's high enough up to get the message of how important this is to your university going forward. So he came up with a web strategy plan that had three goals. Establish a web governance structure, implement a campus-wide WCMS, and implement a new Chico State web presence. Remember that awesome Venn diagram? Same three circles, okay? Approval guy approves of this plan. This was a good approach. I thought we were biting off more than we can chew. It turned out it was a great idea. So I'm gonna go over, I'm gonna spend a little time on this, because just to show you what we do, your mileage will vary, okay? The chart that our CIO came up with is upside down compared to the one that I'm showing you, because I'm gonna show you the way that decisions flow. His was the way governance occurred. I'm gonna show you a bottom-up chart. So on ours, at the very bottom, we have a web technical team. It's four or five people that are web people. They get it, they know the web. And we made decisions as far as standard. We made recommendations. This is the HTML we're going to use. This is our standard as far as accessibility. This is the CSS framework that we want to use. And we passed those recommendations to the next level up, which is the web design team, which was an interdepartmental team, again, small, about six people, that were from public affairs, from me, from web content management, from web services and other units that were also web knowledgeable, maybe not as technical because there's designers and developers. And they would take in those recommendations as well as do the real work of implementing our new design and the WCMS, which was like, how are we gonna organize things in the WCMS? How are we managing permissions? What is the new design going to be? These are the doers on campus for their central web presence. And these people, again, didn't have really decision-making power. They had the power to recommend to the real force This is what we never had before, a web management committee. And this is what our CIO was able to create. He went to university cabinet and said, we have to do this. I don't know what kind of political capital he spent to get this to happen, but there is now a body on campus made up of some vice presidents, the CIO, a representative of the provost's office, several deans, directors from public affairs and from IT that sit on this, and they have the authority, as granted to them by university cabinet, to make university policy as far as the web. Now, these are busy people, VPs and stuff like that. I mean, there's computer games to play in their office and stuff like that, right? These people, and they don't know anything about the web, and thank God they don't think they know anything about the web, because they don't tell us what to do. They told us, the web design team, you tell us what you think we should do, we will review it from our level, see if there's any holes or any issues with that, and then if we approve that, that is officially university policy. So that's worked out really great. There's one other element to this. What a misnamed web content committee, and this is sort of the vestige of the old WWW guidelines committee. This is an anybody can be a member committee, and it's basically an outlet. When a new policy comes out, this committee would meet and we would tell them, here's the new policy. But then we discovered this thing, this new technology called email, and we realized we could just email people the new policy, so this committee never meets anymore. But there is a subcommittee, and this is a small 5-person committee that actually makes decisions about our top level pages, the ones that don't have departmental or college ownership, our homepage and, you know, some top level stuff. And this committee, because it's a very small committee, and we sat down and created actual policies for sections of our homepage, this section of the homepage is for this. To get in this section of the homepage, you must meet these requirements. We actually did that with every section of the homepage and our top level pages. So the decision-making process, and Billy Mays, you know, if Billy Mays approves, then you know it's good. The decision-making process for our homepage now is very simple. If somebody wants a change on the homepage, they send an email to a central contact, which is me, by the way. If they send it to somebody else, that person forwards it to me. They don't take any action. I contact the person, let them know we're considering their request. I create a JIRA issue that goes out to all the people on the homepage committee saying somebody has requested this. We take a discussion or vote, and usually it's very simple. Somebody wants to put a picture of their cat on the homepage, okay? Well, we're not going to do that because we have criteria for what goes on the homepage, and that doesn't meet them. Just last week before I came here, we have on our faculty staff top level page, we have a section called Human Resources. There was no link to the Human Resources website in that section of the page. And the HR department contacted us and said, hey, could you put a link to us in that section of the page? Well, that was clearly within the policy for that section, so it was a slam dunk. So we make a decision, yes or no. The requester gets informed of the decision. We have a policy set within our group that we make that decision within 7 days. Okay. If you're on vacation when that issue comes up, you don't get a vote. Okay. It used to be we would wait for people to come back for vacation. No, we don't do that. And our governor approves of that plan. Thank goodness. As far as design standards now, the recommendation of the web technical team to the web design team that went to the web management committee, sounds complicated, but it's not, was that, okay, the standard is whatever the template is that has been approved in the content management system with only limited customizations possible. And those customizations must be approved by the web design team lead. So you're not hiring, you know, somebody to, you're not creating your own wild color scheme unless it's approved by the design team lead. And the way we decided to make this manageable in the content management system is we said, this has to be whatever designs you do, have to be a single CSS layer within the template in the content management system. So every site has a place for a site level CSS sheet. And whatever you can do there with the design, as long as it's approved, you can do. And the reason why we limited it to that, and we said no structural HTML changes at all. The template is the template. We took a CSS Zen Garden approach to it. If you can mess with the CSS, great. Otherwise, no. And the reason we did that is because in the future, if we need to do something with this site, All we have to do is unplug that one style sheet and it reverts to a site just like every other site on campus. And so that way, if we need to do a new design or something, we can. It works the same way that all the rest of them do. So that's worked really well for us in the Fonz. Hey, the Fonz approves. Who does design now? As far as custom designs, campus web services. No bozos, no hippies, no emo kids, okay? And when he's not eating hamburgers off of his living room floor, David Hasselhoff approves of that. Okay, content management systems. The university has standardized on a single web content management system, Hannon Hill. It's a great product, might not work for you. That's the summary of my presentation from 2 years ago. And even though imposing a single web content management system with a single set of templates on the entire university may kind of communicate the message that we hate your freedom, Stephen Colbert still approves of this message, okay? So let's go back and look at this Venn diagram again. These three components, when we took this on, I thought, okay, this is a little too much to take on. But, you know, we're doers, so we do what we're told. But it was actually an ingenious plan that our CIO came up with. The WCMS gave us a framework to hang the standards and policies on that the web governance structure was designed to create. In other words, we could enforce standards and policies via the content management system. And the web governance structure gave the people, the university, the authority to tell people to use the new redesign and created a decision-making structure that even allowed us to do the redesign. If we still had the WWW Guidelines Committee, we would still be doing this redesign today. Okay, we would not even, well, I'd probably be dead by now, but. And the great thing about that is because the web governance structure allowed us to do the redesign and people like it, the redesign has allowed us to drive people to the web content management system because we've told them, this is a policy, we went and recommended this and they approved it. Get the new look, you have to go into the content management system. So this triangle actually feeds itself around in a circle. And this really shows up when you look at this chart. In January, we had 50 sites on our old look in the content management system. The new look came out in March, but the templates for the rest of the university were not ready until the beginning of June. And then you can see from June 1st to the end of September, we went from 70 sites in the content management system, all in the old template, to 120 sites, 50 sites in 4 months. It had taken us a year and a half to get to 70. Okay, and we were able to convert 50 of those 70 sites that had already been in there to the new design. So this has really pushed our implementation of standards out to the campus. Doesn't hurt that nobody has any money to do anything on their own. Okay, but we also have policy behind us to say, you have to do this. We haven't had to do that yet. Yesterday in our SIG, we were talking about carrots versus sticks. We've been solely using carrots right now, but the violence that is inherent in the system is back there, and that is waiting to come out when the people who are resisting are the only ones left standing. Okay, so we've been using the carrot very well. Oh, this is great. It'll make things easier for you. It's free, da-da-da. But the people who say we don't care, my CIO is asking for a list every month who is not in the content management system, who has said they don't want to go. And they haven't done anything with that list, but I know they will. That at 3 a.m, it's coming for some people. But it's not all double rainbows. By the way, personal favorite video ever. I'm sorry, I can't help it. What does it mean? So what's missing? Now, for you marketing people, who, by the way, I detest, but I'm friends with a lot of them. I don't know how that works. What is missing from this? Well, one thing that's missing, and not from the marketing end, is we actually don't have a web application development plan or resources at all. We get requests all the time. We need an app that does this. Nice. Wish we could help you. But we also don't have a social media strategy, and we don't have a content strategy. So if you look at this graph here, where web policy is in the middle, we've done a good job with design standards and the visual part of branding our university. We've done a good job with technical standards and through the WCMS, and that's helped our accessibility. But we haven't done anything with content strategy or social media. So that whole side of the chart, we haven't been able to deal with. So I'm not trying to pretend that we've solved all of our problems. But 2 years ago, every one of those hexagons was red. Okay, so I think we've done a pretty good job on at least part of the issues. So, and I'm doing fantabulous on time. This is what I was sweating about for weeks. The big takeaways, let's go over the obvious ones. And they are really obvious in a way. When you have policies, policies make decisions for you. You don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. When somebody says, we want something, it isn't a huge headache. I lived for many years in that world of somebody wants something, we don't know what to do, we make something up, it's all very ad hoc, and it's this huge trauma every time somebody wants something. Now, it's a 5-minute process. Matches policy, yes, no, everybody else agree, yes, no, okay, done. Whoops. When you have standards, the standards make decisions for you. Oh, this site wants to use this CSS framework. This one still wants to use table-based layouts. Da, da, da. We have a standard. The standard is approved. This is what you get. If you're not doing that, the knock is going to come on the door in the middle of the night, one of these days, that you need to get with the plan. And when you have a chain of command and a decision-making structure, it can make decisions for you. There was a woman, I don't know if she's here today, who was at the SIG last night. Her entire marketing department, all these VPs were laid off, and she is the lone web person, and you know, just a web developer trying to make policy decisions. You need to have that chain of command so that you can pass the policy decisions up, and they're off your plate. You don't have to worry about them. Those are the obvious takeaways. Maybe not so obvious, they're at least obvious in retrospect. So for us, having this web governance structure, for us, it took a lot of effort to get to it. And it took a lot of effort to get used to it. And some people still don't like it. But ultimately, it has solved a huge amount of the dysfunction in our daily lives. In my daily life, it has been a revolution in how I deal with my clients, how I deal with questions and issues and problems. I know very clearly what I'm authorized to do. I know where to send things when I'm not. And it's all very clear. It's literally night and day. And the big thing with what it's done for us is it's left us able to adjust to rapidly changing technologies and environments. We're not bogged down in stupid little issues of, can I use this font? You know, we can now address more bigger things. Now, social media, I wish we could address that. But my CIO is very clear. Social media is not technology. And it's like, I agree with you. There's a technology component, but it's not technology. And he's like, we are not going to go there. Okay, somebody else needs to take responsibility for that. So we can address the things in our realm that are rapidly changing in the web world, like mobile, which we're going to get on real soon. I guarantee you that. It's pretty soon now we're going to get on that. But things are still out of our environment. So you might say, gee, Tony, you guys are awesome. You've done everything right. Which is kind of strange to hear that. We want to be just like you. What do we need to do? Somebody laughed. What do we need to do? I can't tell you exactly what you're going to need to do, but I am going to tell you a few things that you do need regardless. You need to get Chuck Norris to come to your campus, okay? In other words, you need a champion. You need somebody high enough in the food chain who believes that this needs to be done. If you don't have that, you're going to go back and say, well, that was a worthless talk. We don't have that. Hopefully, you'll begin thinking of who was it that did the presentation? Find people who can kick butt and become friends with them. Who was it that did that? It was yesterday. You know, find people who have power and cozy up to them and try to convince them that this needs to be done. That was you. That was you, wasn't it? Yes. And that was this morning. Wow, it seems like yesterday. Well, Dylan said, yeah, right, it does. Oh, no. That's the Terminator. So you need a champion. And I'm sorry, You do need this. You can't do it without this. You have to have somebody at a high enough level who says, this has to be done. I'm going to make it happen, or I'm going to tell somebody to make it happen. Okay? So you need that. You're also going to need lots and lots of Kool-Aid, because you're going to need a lot of high-level buy-in. So a lot of people are going to have to drink a lot of Kool-Aid to get on board with this. And if you have a champion but you don't have anybody else that's on board with it, you're going to stall out and not go anywhere. So you've got to be able to get people to go. In our campus, it was easy. Everybody knew something had to be done, but nobody was going to volunteer. When our CIO went, yeah, I'll do it, they're always like, oh, great. Oh, somebody's going to do it. So maybe you have that situation. You're also going to need a little socio-commie fascism, okay? Like the Tea Partiers have been trying to tell us Obama has been foisting on our country, okay? In other words, you're going to need some standards and policies, okay? The amazing thing when I look back now, we have policies and standards in place for everything from sort of the general branding feel of our homepage and university web presence in total, all the way down to the specific use of specific pieces of our homepage. And you say, well, that's a hell of a lot of work. Yes, it was a hell of a lot of work. But you know what? It was so totally worth it, because I never have to burn two brain cells to make a decision on how things are going to be done. Either I have the authority to make the decision, or I know where that authority lies. We have a policy for it, and it's a slam dunk. So that's the thing. And the last thing you're going to need is the willpower to make it work. We have a unit on campus, which I won't name, that have a tendency to want to go off the reservation, even though they set these policies with us. They still want to go do their own thing. And it's like, no, you can't go off and do your own thing, because you're diluting the effect of what we're doing here, which is to try to get everybody on board. Is it going to take away a lot of freedom from people? Yes, it's absolutely going to take away freedom from people. But it's also going to help you be more flexible and mobile in the future as far as dealing with decision making. So that's it. I made it with 6 minutes to spare, which is incredible. So I hope that that was useful to you. I know might not have been exactly what you were expecting, and I hope you go away at least just thinking about, how can we do something like that on our campus? Is there a way to get there? I have talked to people where it's very clear that the way their university is set up, there is no way to get there from here in one step or even a series of steps. So if anybody has any questions for me, I'd be happy to answer. Yes, ma'am. Well, we haven't finished. In other words, we still have a list of people that we haven't approached yet. We do have a list of people who have said no. And when we run out of people that we haven't approached yet, which is coming in like the next month, then we will be going back and knocking on doors. And I don't think it's going to be optional. I really think that the pressure is going to come down on people. So people are not really don't have the power, because the provost office has bought in, which is above all the deans, and the deans that are on the management committee have bought into this. I don't think that it's going to be, people are going to be able to say no. So in that sense, do we support people who are outside this? Well, there are some people who are exempt. We do have a policy, people who have their own branding. We have a natural history museum that's associated with the university, but it needs to have its own branding for commercial reasons. That's okay for them to do that and go off and do their own thing. So we do have exemptions for that. But do we support them even if they have an exemption? No. You know, so they are really on their own as far as that. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. You know, I don't really know what happened in the creation of that committee, but the problem that we had was the opposite of that. If you went to my presentation yesterday, the cat with the Bud Light watching Cops. Okay, our problem in the beginning, if people are like, what? Our problem in the beginning was getting them to engage at all, because they're really busy. It's like, you know, I don't know anything about the web. I'm a VP of, you know, advancement. What do I don't, you know. And it took us a while to engage them and say, we really need you to look at this and make a decision. And we, very lucky, and I realize we're very lucky, we don't have anybody who's saying, well, you should do this, you should do that. Hey, have you heard of SEO? You guys should be doing that. It's like, yeah, we heard about that like 5 years ago. So we don't have that particular problem, and it can be an issue. And how you deal with it is you need a buffer in between you. At your level to deflect that. And so whatever that level is, you need to be educating that level that there needs to be a level of trust involved. Rather than control from the top, it needs to be trust of the bottom to that we know what we're doing. And part of that is to establish that you really do know what you're doing. If you went to my presentation yesterday, I talked about doing the research and for our redesign. And a big part of doing the research that was valuable was not as much what we learned from that, but the credibility that we got with the management committee that, oh, these guys do know what they're talking about because they did the research. And so credibility on your end is really going to help you. I don't really know the best way that it worked. In our case, our CIO was the buffer. He actually spent a lot of time talking to us and our bosses about, because I'm a couple levels down from the CIO, talking about, so how do we want to approach this? What are the things that we need to do? What are the issues that have to be addressed? So he got a good feel for that. And he also got a good feel, he's been around a long time, that high-level interference with this low-level stuff is just micromanagement, and that's not going to advance our case. So you need somebody that understands, I need to keep these two from, trying to do this. Okay, so anybody else have any questions? We got just a minute or two. I want to thank you all very much for coming to this session. It's the last session. It's time to party. Please do fill out the evaluations, and Steve is coming. I don't know. He's going to say something. Oh, any more? Is there another question? Yes.
I had a question about stuff that doesn't have policies. For example, like your social media strategy. So if someone does want to spearhead that in your organization, I mean, how is that? Do you deal with the structure that it's going to be able to be streamlined through that process? Or are they going to do
I think it'll end up being totally separate. Because this is sort of, I don't think social media is considered the web on our campus, and right now it's the Wild West. I was talking to people at breakfast about, something will happen once something bad happens. Somebody will get this attention for this. It hasn't happened yet, and it's just sort of out there. So I don't think it'll end up being part of this structure. I think it'll end up having its own structure.
Oh, okay. So yeah.
Right, it wouldn't, this structure. I think that in a couple of years, and maybe 10 years from now, we'll probably have some sort of decision-making structure, authority body for that, but we don't now.
Okay.
It's gonna take a few more student riots, drunken student riots that are posted on Facebook for that to happen, so.
Tony, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Oh, yay!